It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling into the 5 o'clock hour. We're headed towards another Barry Odom radio show. That should be really interesting, getting ready for the Fresno State game. Obviously, a new quarterback is going to be in the fold. See if they'll say anything about Matthew Sluka. UNLV had a statement released this morning. The collective released a statement as well. Justin Watkins, if you missed any of the first 2 hours, Justin was in for the better part of 2 hours, and we hit it about six different times with all this legal stuff now with UNLV Sports and the conference and their former quarterback, Matthew Sluka. Ion Sports Gambling, we just closed that out, kind of came up against it again. Oasis Bar and Grill, we appreciate what they do. You can follow them on IG at Oasis Bar and Grill and follow them on Twitter at Aces_Grill. And if I don't tell you the dinner special, they will.
I saw a tweet of yours with some pictures.
We were there yesterday, and I was hungry. I just found out last hour that Justin Watkins is fasting, and Justin was like, you were killing me with the show yesterday with the food talk.
Now, here's the deal. You know that my Last Supper meal will include a New York-style pizza. It's got to be the fold with the
oil. Why don't you mention Chicago?
If you cut me off one more time, I'm leaving.
I love when people do that to you. Not cut you off on the Chicago
pizza.
But
here's the thing. There's only certain bar pizzas that I'll eat. One of them is our old Media Watering Hole on West Charleston. Fantastic bar pizza. Yep. But when I saw it, I don't know if I would agree with the toppings, but I said that's the kind of pizza, like, if I could pick my toppings, it looked fantastic. You know what I do love? But I got to know how you eat it. I do love a good bowl of chili. That looked like good chili. Do you use a spoon, or do you just say, give me a bunch of crackers and use the crackers?
I'm not a cracker person, and truth be told, that was not how the chili – you can go look at the picture at Steve Cofield. That's not how it was originally presented. It had – I think some cheese on there, and then got I kind of spooned it in, and I was like, oh, I didn't take a picture. Now I got to do it. But I'm not anti-saltine cracker. I'm also so cheap that when I get saltines with soup or chili, I just throw them right in the pocket. I'm like, that could be a snack down the road.
You know our guy, man about town with the sports betting, Patrick Everson?
Of course.
When he and I worked at the Review Journal at the same time, we were always on Sunday nights for the Monday paper, and we used to go in the RJ Cafe. And we would get the bowl of chili, and we would have, I mean, mounds of saltines.
Do they have a good cafe?
The RJ Cafe? They had certain things that were really good.
Really?
And their soups, they had the chicken wild rice soup, the kind of like the with the creamy. That was fantastic, and the chili was really good. But we would use the crackers to scoop the chili with no spoon. We didn't need a spoon. But anyway, that chili looked good. And then for dessert, kidding me? The cheesecake.
Yep.
So
I got the salted.
I got to get sucked.
Salted caramel
it.
Cheesecake. Yeah. So when you go in, you get an entree. They'll give you a free dessert. Just mention us, and you're good to go. And that's 24/7. And they're great with takeout as well. I got to get your take before we go to a conversation we want to have with Jeff Horton, because this weekend the 1994 UNLV Rebel football team is going to be honored.
Great, great.
And you know a lot about this team. It's going to be honored at this Fresno game. At halftime and a little bit in the pregame. Just quick synopsis of where we are right now, because I think he's moved on, AP Pierce, on business decision gate. With, I guess it was Jack Jones.
I would imagine because whoever tweeted out the play that he sort of pulled back from to tackle Hubbard, the fact that he acknowledged it, if it was him, but here's the thing. I don't know if Antonio Pierce is the type of guy, if he's got one person on his mind, we had some people make some business decisions, so we are too. What I think overall, I don't think he had one person in mind. I think he's more the type, if it's one person he has a problem with, he's going to address that person.
That's what I thought.
I think for the most part, it's just the fact that the team looked deflated and let down. So instead of the fourth quarter that we saw against the Baltimore Ravens, as a team collectively, Davante Adams, he probably put forth a great effort, but he also dropped some balls. Gardner Minshew didn't look like a reliable quarterback. So collectively, we could sit here and pinpoint. Nate Hobbs said in the locker room to me and Vic Tafer, we were standing there, and he said, there were people, you know, it takes 11 people on each unit, and I was one of the people that didn't come through. I didn't do my job. There were place areas that I could have been better. There were people that did their job. So, you know, I don't necessarily think that he's backed off from it. And I think it's also the heat of the moment. He was asked a specific question. He answered a specific way. You know, we see coaches and players answer questions at a press conference after a game, Steve, where it's very emotional. He used those words. People took it to the next level. I don't think it was personal. Everyone wants to say Devontae. Everybody wants to say Minshew. Everybody wants to say Jack Jones. Let's just see what happens. And I think they addressed a lot of things today. They spoke about a lot of things. It's all about accountability and showing up and bouncing back this week.
Let's talk about some historical moments in UNLV football history and also coaching. Jeff Horton is up with Willie Ramirez and Steve Cofield as he's getting ready for the big 94 celebration of UNLV Rebel football over at Allegiant Stadium. Coach, how are you?
Doing great. How about you guys?
We're very good. We're very good.
My guy. How are you,
sir? A lot of stuff to get into.
Willie G. All right.
He said, you know what's funny is during the break before the 5 o'clock hour, he said, okay, do we know which way we want to go? I was like, don't even start typing topics for Jeff and I. We got this. He and I, you don't even need to talk. We got plenty of stuff we could.
Right.
Yeah, when it comes to 1990.
Give me some credit. I'm a prep guy, okay? I like to be prepped.
I don't know whether or not we need to start with that season, the goalpost going running across, Henry Bailey's performance, or the nights we spent at Thirstbusters. I mean, where are we going?
Well, the nights at Thirstbusters got expensive because we put some pretty good shifts in there.
A time we had, my friend, a time we had. When you think back collectively, though, just at that season overall, and, you know, just how special it was. But for you, you know, because you've had a fantastic career as an assistant coach, you know, the year that you had. But at UNLV, that specific season, that's got to this day, hold a special place in your heart.
Oh, it really does. I mean, it's incredible. It's been 30 years. That's hard to believe. But when I see myself in the mirror, I say, yeah, it has been 30 years. But to come down there, you know, I'd been there in 1991 as assistant, and then went back to, UNR for a couple years and came back down as the head coach there in 94. And just, you know, the team had been struggling a couple years, and the kids were hungry, and we just told them, hey, if you believe in what we're trying to say and get accomplished, and then you guys put in the work and effort, then we can be champions. And have that magical year when nobody gave us a chance to win. I mean, those guys are champions for life, and it's going to be so awesome to see them there Friday night and then Saturday at the game. And it was just an incredible year, you know. And it came down to that last game against UNR there at Sam Boyd Stadium, and they were really rolling. I think they had only lost one game, but it was that magic day. So many big plays and great team win, and just, you know, to be the Big West champions at that time and then win the Las Vegas Bowl was an incredible season. And as we told those guys, they're champions for life now. Nobody can ever take that away.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is I took a 3-week mental health sabbatical, and I drove cross country, and I went to upstate Michigan. I did it last year. I did it again this year. And on one of the days while I was in upstate Michigan, I drove down to Mount Pleasant. And there, you know, it was a perfect time of the year to sort of stadium hop, and I did that on the drive back because they're getting the stadiums ready for the season. So there's always a back gate open. Well, sure enough, I was able to sneak into the Central Michigan Stadium, and one of their pillars, it's sort of wrapped, you know, like with scenery from, you know, a different season. And they had that 94 season, and I had it on one of my social media platforms. I said, and here's the 1994 championship team from the MAC that got smacked by UNLV in the Las Vegas Bowl. I mean, you know, and I remember it vividly, you know what I mean, in terms of bowl week and hanging out with Mark Wallington all week and leading up to it. And then, of course, it was just a phenomenal game. And there's a great story behind that, which I'll follow up with. But let's talk about the game itself and what you remember most, and, of course, how special Henry Bailey was in that game.
It was an incredible night. If as you were mentioning, we had lost to Central Michigan earlier in the year. I think it was third or fourth game, something like that. And, you know, and then have a chance to have a rematch with them was special. And then just, I knew we were going to the game. I mean, we had an incredible bowl week. We stayed over there at that time there at the MGM, and they treated us right. The Vegas Bowl people were awesome, and our kids really got into it. And at any event, we were really getting after and competing hard. And then I remember riding the bus into the stadium. The guys kind of started rocking the bus and getting fired up. You know, back then, not that many games were on TV, and you know, I was ESPN that night, and you know, it was a cool December night. But as you came in, it just felt different. You could feel the lights, you could feel the cameras, you could feel the buzz in the air, and coming in there to play, and the guys were really, really ready to go. And then so many big plays. You mentioned Henry Bailey scoring 4 touchdowns. I remember Keith Washington picking up that fumble and running in. In fact, he took it all the way into the visitor. He opened the visitor locker room door, looked around, dropped the football in there. I mean, it was big, nice. Mark Byers with some sacks. And as you mentioned, I think we won. I think it was like 52 to something. So it was a great victory for the Rebels. But to do it on national TV was really, really special back in the day when, you know, every game wasn't on TV. So that was really a cool night and just so excited for the players.
Once again, speaking with former UNLV head coach Jeff Horton this weekend, celebrating the 30-year anniversary of the Big West champion UNLV Rebels and Las Vegas Bowl champion. That was a roster that you had sort of brought together. There were some special names on there. You know, they may not have went to the next level, but as far as what you put together, Jason Davis, Omar Love, Henry Bailey, right? Randy Gatewood, who held, I think, that the game against Idaho, he still holds one of those records. On defense, local kid Keith Clough went to Basic, Rossi Johnson. But, Coach, listen, from UNLV days to your days at San Diego State, I will challenge you to tell me that you had a harder-hitting safety, littler guy, than Rodney Maison, because that dude was like a truck.
Oh, Rodney Maison, he was something special. I remember the Nevada game when he came out wearing the Batman mask as we took the field, and he could hit you. Good thing if those rules were different like they are now back then, you know, I don't know if Rodney would have made it through one game.
Yeah, that it was I got news for you. That was
you know, he'd explode on you, and they'd probably throw him out too many times for targeting now.
It was a very fun season. I'm going to be out there, so I'm looking forward to the celebration.
Yeah. What? Nick Garitano doing all the kicking. How great was he? Yep.
So there's my story that I wanted to tell you is I'll never forget after the game for SportsCenter, they had the camera where they would hold it down low, panning from like a ground level up, and there was always that little 30-second intro. Right back when it was Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann, and they'd have the funny lines here and there. And I'll never forget, and they said, in a bowl game in Vegas with a beer belly booter who was kicking 60 yarders pregame, and they were talking about Nick Garitano because his belly. So I still, to this day, we laugh about it all the time when I see Nick, coach of CSN baseball. I'd be like, the beer belly booter kicking 60 yarders, because that dude could kick, former Chaparral High School star, baseball and football.
Yeah, he was incredible. I mean, who'd ever thought, you know, he was a third baseman as big as he was and a kicker, but you know, he hits a lot of 50-yarder plus and did a great job. What a tremendous job he's done over there at the community college there, getting into the Junior College World Series, and just a great person, also great dad. And that's probably what's special about all those guys. You know, now you see them as husbands and fathers and, you know, successful out in the community. That's what makes it that much more special, and that's what's going to be so great about this weekend, being able to catch up with a lot of them. Because really, you know, as we all go different ways, it's hard to stay in touch, you know, with just a few, and now get a chance to see everybody back together. I think we've got over 64 players that have RSVP'd. That's awesome. And, you know, the other part was the Vegas, you know, the Vegas O-line. You know, I think 4 of our 5 starters were from Las Vegas, so that was a cool deal, too.
I want to touch upon somebody who's a former colleague of yours, but he's a UNLV legend. He, for the longest time, was known as the Arena Football League Godfather, and I was so glad to hear that he was finally coming home to have an impact, because this was your territory along with his. But Hunky Cooper is above and beyond his knowledge on the football field as a coach, as a mentor. I know he won some state championships here with Canyon Springs, but when you talk about somebody that you want to be a part of your life, you know, mothers, fathers, parents, single moms, if this dude is recruiting your son to play football, you are not just getting a coach. Can you just speak to how special Hunky Cooper is?
Yeah, he's in my mind, he's the best. I mean, he was like a son to me. I mean, I didn't have kids. You know, we kind of adopted him when he came there. My wife and I, he still calls her mom, calls me pops, and he's just such a special, special person. He's influenced so many. He's changed generations to come with what he's done with kids and got them to, you know, graduate not only from high school but then in the college ranks and everything and be able to do that and just the impact he has on the community and with everybody he comes into touch with. And I knew when he came back to UNLV when I retired to San Diego State, he came back here that he would make a huge difference, not only in the program, which he's done, but also back in the community. And such a special person, him and his wife Tiffany and their kids. Now his one son, AJ, coaching linebackers up there at Oregon State. And you know, when I got the offensive coordinator job at San Diego State in 2015, he was my first hire. You know, I hired him as the wide receiver coach there from Canyon Springs because I know the impact that he makes on young men's life. And he's the best I've been around. He's a very, very special person. And it's great to see him back home, like you said.
Big day on Saturday at Allegiant Stadium as we're talking to Jeff Horton, the coach of the UNLV 94 Big West Conference champion team and Las Vegas Bowl champions. I got to get your take on a couple of football items. One, just give me your read on how the Rebels are doing this rebuild by Barry Odom. That's really been quick here over a year plus.
He's done a phenomenal job. I had a chance to meet him last year. Coming down there and watch some practices. Now that I'm retired, got a chance to meet with him, watch him practice, and then again in the spring. And he does an incredible job. Him and his staff are outstanding. They've really done a great job of getting that program turned around, taking the next step, getting them in the championship game a year ago, right, boom, right back at it this year. And really, really impressive with what he's done there with the program. He's really accelerated the thing there, and you can, it's easy to watch why when you watch him practice and you see him carry it over to the field. And a great man also. He's very welcoming, very open, and it has been outstanding in those areas in the community. And I think, you know, they're just continue to really grow that program and get better and better.
So in addition to being at UNLV and Nevada, you spent the end of your career 10 plus years at San Diego State. I got to get your take from a football coach's standpoint on what you do when all this stuff is going on with this conference chaos. And it looks like San Diego State is going to the Pac-12. And I know, you know, back in the day, hell, they were headed to the Big East at one point for a little bit. As a coach, what do you think about all this conference Armageddon?
Well, I think it's everything. Really, I think everything's out of control. I think the game is changing tremendously. Obviously, as you mentioned with the Cam, when you don't have a Pac-12, I mean, they won more national championships. They've won some, obviously, in football, with just all sports. When that conference disintegrates, you know something's wrong. I've been saying for a couple of years, I really think where it's heading is that there's going to be, you know, probably 35 teams, maybe 40 at the most, and basically the Big Ten, the SEC, and then they'll cherry pick some from the ACC and the Big 12. And that's going to be college football. And it's basically going to be AFC and NFC, what you see in the NFL. They'll control all the TV. They'll have all of their own rules. They'll be able to do whatever the heck they want to do. And everybody else will be down below. And then basically below them, it will turn into like a major league model, like the San Diego State, Nevada. You know, I think UNLV is in the same boat, unfortunately, that you're really like the AAA. And as you recruit and develop guys, as they get good, then you're going to get called up to the so-called big leagues, just like they do in baseball. You, in turn, are going to go to the Sac States, the Eastern Washingtons, the Montana, Northern Arizona, that's the AA, and you bring them up to the AAA. And it's really going to evolve into that because that divide is getting bigger and bigger every year, and you just can't compete with the money that those other schools have. I mean, it's impossible. And it's sad to see to me, and just like with the NIL deal, I am for paying players. I think that's a good thing, and they deserve it. where the issues are is the NCAA is supposed to create level playing fields. There is no level playing field in college football now. It's a matter of just how much money you got and how much can you spend. And then the NCAA was supposed to be the ones to always enforce a level playing field for all the sports. That's not happening right now. It's out of control, and it's going to get worse, I think, before it gets better.
Coach, I am looking forward to Saturday. I will be there at Allegiant Stadium. I'm going to, the new rules with our boy Mark, I'm only allowed on the field for a certain amount of time. So I am going to plead my case and be like, look, I was every bit a part of that program when I was starting my career. If you remember, I was with the Las Vegas Sentinel Voice.
Oh, yeah.
And we were out there. I mean, I was out there all the time at Rebel Park. And, gosh, we had some good times. So I am looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, one, you got a great UNLV team. Two, playing Fresno State. They always bring good following. I know you, Las Vegas people are really all in, and there should be a great crowd, great atmosphere, should be a great football game. You got the 30-year 94 team coming in. I mean, chance to see everybody again, see UC Steve there and just everybody there. And it's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to be out there in that tailgate, the alumni tailgate area at 9:30 to game time. I think we're getting introduced there between first and second quarter, I think. So that'll be great. But had great times in Vegas. Need to win more games, but made lifetime memories, lifetime friends such as yourself. And to see these guys get a chance to come together again and celebrate, that's what it's all about. Support the Rebels. Yep,
I'm going to be looking forward to seeing you and Terry.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate the time. We'll see you this weekend.
All right. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
There is a former Rebel coach, Jeff Horton, went on to coach at San Diego State. Certainly knows the conference very well and knows winning times at the very beginning of his coaching stint with a monster season. I think we're going to talk to Nick the Kick on Friday.
Oh, nice.
On Cofield and Company. So
bring it up. Beer belly booter.
That should be a good one. Real quick, Thirstbusters.
Yeah.
Thirstbusters. You want to fill people in?
Thirstbusters was a watering hole on, and I may still be there. I don't even, maybe they changed the name, but if you know when you're hitting Sunset at the dead end, and it's Sunset and Sunset, and you take a right to head toward Boulder Highway, just down the hill, I think it was Valley Verde, there was a place called Thirstbusters, and it was the watering hole after games. And a lot of the guys lived out there in Henderson, the coaching staff, whatnot. I had lived right up the street at the time with my son's mother, and 1994, we had just moved out there, and so yeah, that was the spot. You would just go up there, and Matt Jacob, he was covering the team. He would come up there. We turned a few over. Let's just leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that. We turned a few over.
I'm familiar with the place, so I lived right in that neighborhood. I was asking for the audience, but yeah.
Okay, yeah,
it was a good place. It was a very good place. Real good kitchen. All right, we come back. Let's talk to Arash Markazi, Mr. Vegas, Mr. LA. He's doing a show basically nightly for the Sporting Tribune. He is the CEO of the Sporting Tribune, so we'll check in with Arash. He's got a take on Matt Sluka and UNLV, and we certainly want to get into the Dodgers and the Rams at this point in their seasons.
Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Arash Markazi joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Rolling on, we're getting towards the 6P mark with the Barry Odom Radio Show taking over ESPN Las Vegas over at 215 and Flamingo, Parkway Tavern. Tonight and every Odom show, they've got a special on Miller Lights. If you show up with Rebel gear on, Barry Odom has the tab open. He's getting everyone in attendance with Rebel gear on a free brewski. So take advantage of that. Go watch the show. And obviously a lot of important things to talk about with conference chaos and Matthew Sluka, and now the rundown with a new quarterback at the helm against Fresno State. Let's bring in Arash, Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Mr. Honolulu. Arash, how you doing, buddy? Willie's here.
I'm good. Hey, guys. Hey, Willie.
So I want to get to Sluka Gate in a couple of minutes with UNLV, and I want to talk college football at the back end of this, but I got to come out of the gate starting with some of the stuff you've been talking about on your Sporting Trib show, and that includes going back a few days. That was a hell of a win for the Rams, showing a lot of gumption.
in an environment that's not always the most home friendly, home team friendly against the Niners.
Yeah, I mean, they really showed a lot of moxie this season. You know, I mean, obviously, I think that the aberration game is against the Cardinals. Not saying that the Cardinals aren't a good team, but I think when you look at the way that the Rams played in that Week 1 game at Detroit, coming back from 14 points down late in the third quarter to take the lead, they weren't able to hold on in the overtime period. But then you go to the game against San Francisco, a team that has always beaten them in the regular season. Again, 14 points down late in the third quarter, finally going to come back and take the lead and win. You know, again, I mean, if you look at their schedule, regardless of all the guys they have hurt, you go down the list, it's the Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Steve Avila, the list goes on. You kind of looked at their start of the season was going to be like 1-2. You know, you're going up against the two teams that were in the conference championship game a year ago and the Cardinals. So they're 1-2. Now they head to Chicago to play the Bears. I think that's the win. So they really saved their season with that comeback win.
Arash, read a story from a colleague of mine, his weekly sort of analysis, Rob Maddie, talking about parity after the first 3 weeks in the NFL as a whole. We had 6 winless teams earning their first win of the season. 9 road teams and 8 underdogs were winners last week alone. Through the first 3 weeks, we're sort of seeing a lot of things that we did not expect. Is that good? Are we good with that? I mean, some of the storylines that we expect to happen don't happen. Does it sort of lose interest, or is parity good right now?
I think it's great. You know, it's something that, you know, the old cliche with the National Football League is any team can win on any given Sunday. So, you know, you go to the game you were at at Allegiant Stadium. I mean, I don't think anyone expected the Carolina Panthers to come in to Vegas and win, certainly not in the fashion that they did. You look at the way that the Cowboys have played the last 2 weeks. You look at all of a sudden now the Chargers are dealing with a ton of guys going down. So, listen, I mean, the only thing that has gone the way that we kind of thought is sort of the Chiefs. And even then, it's sort of like I don't think anyone's concerned about the Chiefs during the regular season. You go back to a year ago and everyone's concerned that they're not, you know, dominating the league. You know, when you've done what they've...
Yeah, so, I mean, in talking about, we have, at this point, there's 5 teams left undefeated, right? The Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, the Vikings, and the Seahawks. 3 of those teams, Steve, nobody would have had. The Steelers, right? The uncertainty with the quarterback. I don't think you thought they were going to be 3-0. Vikings were somewhat of a consensus pick to finish last in the NFC North. And then the Seahawks with the first-year coach. The Bills and the Chiefs, maybe someone would have said, yeah, they could probably be 3-0, but the Bills were supposed to take a step backward. Who was supposed to take over, the Jets or the Dolphins? So those 5 alone, in being the last teams standing in terms of not a loss, is a bit surprising.
Ross, continue your comments.
No, just I think it's good. This is what makes the National Football League so great. Any team on any given Sunday, I think it's fantastic.
Arash Markazi is with the Sporting Tribune. Other L.A. topics include baseball down the stretch here. Dodgers-Padres, the series is on. This is a big series for both squads. Last night, not the most fun times for L.A.D.
Mm.
The problem that I have with the Dodgers here, it's not really so much the division, guys. It's that the way that they're playing, and certainly the way that they're playing against the Padres. I mean, let's just say... they win, you know, one of the next 2, and win the series against Colorado.
All right, we're having phone issues again. We'll line this up back up for next week. Griffin, please tell Arash thank you. So, cutting out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens on the phone.
Yeah, and he's right. I mean, you know, as a Dodger fan, you know, I don't follow baseball as I used to. I mean, a lot younger, I was diehard into baseball. I was the type of guy who I would keep score at home, you know, in the scorebook, in a spiral notebook. I don't as much anymore, and I can't sit and watch a baseball game from start to finish, but I do every morning check the standings. I look at the results. I read some of the AP recaps, and then I'll delve in with beat writers if something intrigues me. But, you know, it's very troublesome to see, you know, a team like the Dodgers, and you sort of just see their fall coming because they just can't stay consistent with their pitching staff. And I mean, you have a season like Shohei's having – And yet the consistency on the bump, I mean, it's almost like it's waiting to happen for the Padres to run up on them and take the division title. I think it's going to be the Dodgers and Padres obviously leading the wild card race, and then who's going to sneak in? Is it going to be the Diamondbacks? Is it going to be the Mets and Braves? They were in the middle of a series, but the weather back east in the southeast with the hurricane issue, that postponed today's game. So
NL is absolutely wide open, yeah. And that's because the Dodgers, who have been consistently the best team along with the Phillies, the Dodgers starting pitching has just fallen apart, and they were like 11 deep going into the year, and they're just catching bad luck, moments after bad luck. Glasnow goes down. He's technically their one. If not, then Yamamoto is, but he went down. But Glasnow was probably done for the season. Gavin mm-hmm. Stone, who was having a good year, reliable guy, was eating innings. He's out for the season. Landon Knack is filling in right now. He wasn't good last night. Yep. Clayton Kershaw is trying, but who knows if he's going to be back. So it's a freaking mess now. They go in. And listen, they build their team. They want hammers in the rotation, and eventually they're going to have one of these years where all five starters stay healthy and are ready to go for the playoffs. Eventually, but it ain't this year. So now, Willie, they got to win sort of like they win in Tampa. A lot like they won in Kansas City, which is have your four starters in the postseason. You try to get them through five, and then it's in the hands of the bullpen. Their bullpen is deep. I give them credit. They went and traded for more bullpen help, so they recognize the problem here. So maybe that's how they're going to win it. Now, I'll go back to your point about parity in the NFL. It is good in the NFL because I think fans have grown accustomed to not having a superpower. Now, I still think the Chiefs are a superpower, but the Chiefs have fallen off a little bit, even though they won last year. Baseball, to me, the narrative from fans and media is duplicitous. Because every year they piss and moan about the money the Dodgers spend, the money the Yankees used to spend. They spend a lot, but they don't spend what the Dodgers spend. They still want to believe in this system where it's unbalanced and there's the haves and the have-nots. That is a lie. Money distribution has made things, you know, much better. Not completely even, but better. And that's what fans want. They're like, I want my team to have a chance. Every year you go in, there's only five teams, which is a complete lie. Because the last 15 years have been as balanced as ever in the postseason. And you're going to see, right? You're going to see the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Yankees. They go out early. This is what you wanted, right, everybody? And then no one watches.
Yeah, that's true.
They want Goliath and they want to hate someone. But when those teams go down, they're like, whatever. Like, come on, Rangers and Arizona World Series.
But the difference.
Oh, that's what we want. No, you don't.
But the difference, I think, in baseball and NFL, when you're talking about parity, is that if you don't have the spotlight teams that everybody wants to see, whether you're a baseball fan or not, okay, now all of a sudden you got the Rangers and Diamondbacks, and they're going up against the NFL and college football. So
that too. Yeah. The scheduling is still a massive flaw that they have not come to reality and adjusted.
Right. So, I mean, that's the problem that it's running up against. Just like right now, a lot of people are saying with the WNBA, in that you have to keep people watching. Otherwise, I mean, let's be real honest here. We talked about it earlier, right? Liberty and Aces. So one of those teams is going to the WNBA Finals. But let's just say, for argument's sake, they both got upset.
Oof.
Okay? And then Caitlin Clark gets knocked out. And now all of a sudden you're facing the Seattle Storm or Atlanta Dream versus the Connecticut Sun, Minnesota Lynx, or Phoenix Mercury up against the NFL. You want to talk about ratings dropping. You know, it's nothing against the ladies, but there are the popular teams and players, the Caitlin Clarks, the Asia Wilsons, the Brianna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu's, players like that. And I love the Minnesota Lynx and what they're doing, and I know those players, but they don't have the star power in terms of everybody knows who Nafisa Collier is, or Kayla McBride, or Courtney Williams, Lana Smith. They don't know, so it's not going to draw them in. They're up against the NFL and college football as well.
Cool spot to hang on Friday is Ellis Island inside the front yard. One, they've added David Perico to the lineup with his Raider house band. They're going to be playing at 10 o'clock every Friday night. A tailgate getting ready for the weekend. And then Friday's mean. It's Friday night, Red Zone Riches. They give away 1,000. Check that. $1,500 or more in free play every single week at 7 o'clock. You can earn unlimited entries daily. If you're a fan of football and free play, this is a must-attend for you. For details on this, Ellis, check that, EllisIslandCasino.com.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
All right, let's close it out strong. In the grab bag. Willie, all right, you're getting all hydrated?
I am.
You're washing down the peanuts?
Almonds.
You're getting, almonds!
Don't,
you know, dangerous. Have you done radio long enough to know? Griffin, I mean, check in here. Griffin, by the way, are you all right? I know you look like Doc Holliday the last couple of days with the coughing, and want to make sure. Did you get that checked out?
Oh, yeah. Doing good. Every time you tell me I look like Doc Holliday, I take it as a compliment. That's a handsome man.
Get it checked out, please. We want everyone healthy for the show.
Healthy and handsome.
And the sixth season's coming up. All right.
I've been coughing since 2016.
I got one here. I introduced this a little bit last week, and now it's coming closer. We're about, not to make this about me, because it's very much not, but we're about 10 days out. So Fresno State this weekend, really big for UNLV, especially now that they're going to have a change of quarterback. Rival, they haven't beaten them six straight times. Got to take them out. Game after that's big as well. Syracuse. You don't get a chance to play the Syracuses, the Power Fours of the world, at home on a Friday night, national audience. They're making a big deal of this. So before the game next Friday for UNLV, they are inviting people to come in early. They did this a couple times last year. So to get the word out and get this momentum going, 4:30 to 5:45, fans 21 plus can get into the stadium and hang out at the Torch Bar. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff. You can get half-price domestic drafts and that awesome view up there on both sides, right? You've been up there.
Yep.
At the Torch.
Mm-hmm.
There's a meet-and-greet with Rebel legends. One is former Rebel quarterback and star on SportsCenter for years and years and years, Kenny Mayne. The other is world champion, maybe the best ever, female competitive eater, Mickey Sudo. When Mickey's been on, or just Raina?
Been on with Raina. Okay. Okay, remind me again.
Don't confuse them.
Remind
either,
me.
Because there's something there.
Remind me again.
Yes.
The competitive eating couple that were bodybuilders on stage.
Well, I don't know that Mickey was a bodybuilder, but Mickey's married to Nick Weary. You've okay. been on with Weary.
That's them.
Because you guys
No,
you
they
guys
were both
can.
On that day, and we talked about bodybuilding.
Oh, I thought you meant they both were doing bodybuilding.
Oh, I thought they both did.
I don't know if she does.
Okay, so he does, but when they've been on, and we actually had, who's the main guy in this whole thing?
Joey Chestnut?
Yeah, we had him on one time.
Yes, we did.
And I always brought in how much fitness and training had to do with what they do. Because if you look at it as a sport, then you have to train for it. So, yes, I do remember that.
The rest of the promotion includes these written words. The excitement continues after happy hour with the inaugural UNLV football pink donut eating contest. That doesn't mean that it's provided by a company named Pink. The donuts will be pink. And that's in recognition of Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Nice.
Mickey Sudo will headline a halftime competition where contestants will go head-to-head in a thrilling race to see who consume the most pink donuts. I was asked to represent the media. I have accepted. We bandied about the possibility of just having a Cofield and Company rep. I can see Griffin on our trusty video feed. His head is slumped. He's very disappointed. He wanted to step up and be the guy. But I will be the guy. I don't know who's in the competition besides Mickey and myself. I believe there's going to be a former UNLV football player. I figured that would be the case. You get a big fella in there as well. Not that I'm a big, not a big fella, but big and round, short and round. I don't know who else will be in the contest.
All right. Listen.
I have questions. Do you have questions?
Listen, Barney Rebel. What I want to know is.
Well, I'm going to accept that.
First thing I thought of when you said short and round.
Sure. Okay.
What I want to know is.
Yes.
Can we, right when you said. Because I'm a little disappointed that I wasn't considered for this. Can we do a Cofield and Company donut eating contest at a later date?
This has been asked before. I don't know if you were the one who asked it. We don't do anything at a later date or a current date on Cofield and Company when it comes to competing. Okay. We follow through on nothing. We could do it independent of the radio station because it'll have to go through legal, and that will be a 6-month process.
Well, that's what I meant. We lose all momentum. No. That's what I meant. Okay. I didn't mean like on the show, part of a bit or this or that. No, I meant like let's.
I mean, I'd love to do a little competition, and as a like, could I do it next week to train? I think it's too close to the event. I really have to watch my figure.
Griffin, is there something specific that you feel you could win hands down if he said, okay, if this is the competition, I'm winning?
Yes, this.
So it could be any competition. We're not talking specifically eating.
No, food. Oh, a certain food.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not that nervous about competing, eating any type of food. I mean, no disrespect to anybody in the company, but I've done my fair share of eating, and I'm prepared to do it again.
I would smoke you in a couple of competitions.
Wow.
I'm interested to see which ones you think you'd beat me in.
So much pride. Boasting.
I would definitely challenge you. I would definitely think I could challenge anyone with pizza.
Mm. That crust gets a little difficult once you get past the actual pizza itself, so that could be a challenge.
Of course, I would have to stipulate what kind it would be. It can't be deep dish. It can't be Chicago or Detroit style. It's got to be New York, the thin style.
I would want you to see me in the sliders. See me in a slider competition.
Oh, sliders would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Sliders, that would be a good competition. I think I can hang with you in donuts. Now, again, we talked about this earlier. What kind of donuts are they? I mean,
I don't have the intel on that. And I asked about it. I will tell you this, because I have not announced what the competition is. I assumed it was, hey, you got 2 or 3 minutes. You got these pink donuts. Mickey's going to battle you, and Mickey would eat 45.
What I'm picturing.
But that's not the competition. You want to know what the competition is?
What?
It is who can eat 2 dozen of these pink donuts the fastest.
Oh, she's going to win, but I'm totally in for that.
You would get my guess,
didn't say I would challenge her. I just said she'd totally win. But before, when you were making it seem how many in 3 minutes, but I could easily take down 2 dozen.
Well, you can take it down. It's about the speed.
I could do it inside 3 minutes.
That's what we got to say.
I can't beat her, but I can do it inside. That's, I don't know, 3 minutes. I don't know about
there's minutes. No. This is not, it's not even timed.
Oh.
It is eat the 2 dozen donuts
whoever's
as fast
first.
As you can. Yeah. How fast do you think she can do it? We'll get her on next week. Yeah.
Do you have the milk to dunk in, or is it just?
I'm told there will be milk present, but we also did some research, and in donut contests, Mickey likes black coffee.
Okay, so you have something to dunk it in and mush it. See, here's the thing. There's 2 different ones I'm picturing. I'm picturing old-fashioned with the pink spread over it, the pink frosting, or the, you know, the, what are they called? The buttermilk. Oh, I can't even think that what kind they are, but they're, you know which ones I'm talking about?
Sure.
A little flat, kind of, yeah. A little scrimped. One of those two. Well, unless it's a Krispy Kreme that they're putting pink frosting on. If Krispy Kreme, I mean, you could mash that up and make a donut hole out of it. You can make a ball out of it and pop it down.
That would be interesting.
Just Krispy.
If they're very airy donuts, you smush them.
Yeah.
Maybe. You still got to chew them, though.
Yeah.
But that's the problem is that competitive eaters, I don't really think even chew the food.
Can you imagine if they're airy and you make a ball and dip it in the coffee and slam it, it's just going to dissolve?
I think she'll be able to do 2 dozen donuts inside of 2 minutes. I think it would take me 10 minutes to eat 2 dozen donuts.
Dozen in 10 minutes?
This is going to be impressive.
I can do it inside 10 minutes.
Yeah, but that's going to be at the half of that game. So mark it down Friday night.
That's going
to
be
out to the torch from 4:30 to 5:45.
Yep.
Get the drinks, half price on the drinks, early in, like you're a VIP for the atmosphere, and then halftime competition. Kenny Mayne will actually be on the mic mocking on us, and I hope marveling at what Mickey Sudo was doing to us.
Quick update. 4:43 left in the third, 49-48 Connecticut. We got a game. Game 2.
Thanks to Battleborn Injury Lawyers for hosting the show. Coming up is Barry Odom Radio Show. Pretty close to where we are right now. We're on the west side in Summerlin. It'll be at 215 and Flamingo. That's Parkway Tavern. Get over there. It's going to be a fun one. Be an interesting one. Barry Odom Radio Show coming up right here on ESPN Las Vegas.